And we need to be able, if we take that class, go back to the meeting. Talk to an older brother or an older sister. Ask them, you have heard that. Would you just help me out? Because you're right, sometimes I am not, and I'm impressed with a capable, eloquent, great mind that I think this is great. I mean, the brother in the meeting could not speak like that. Professor could not articulate things like that. Professor. But you need, again, to examine everything. So you might have to go to an older brother or a sister in the meeting and say, help me out. I just heard that stuff. Could you help me from the Word of God? So it will enable you.
So you go to the Apostle Paul, too. Wonderful things that he wrote that we don't even read sometimes in 2 Corinthians. My, the man was trained at the foot of Gamaliel. He came behind in no gift. He could speak two or three different languages. He was caught up in the third heaven and got three special revelations when he was there. He wanted to open up to the Corinthians, but they weren't in the state to receive it. Look at chapter 10, verse 16. To preach the gospel beyond you. It doesn't mean anything by the regions beyond. That's missionaries. But that's not in the Bible. It's just to preach the gospel beyond you. He wanted to open up some truth to them. He had gone as far as he could in the gospel. Now he wants to open up other ministry to these dear believers, these saints at Corinth.
Sorry, Brother Bob, I did that.
I'm sorry.
Twice. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Judge Steve.
These high things that we're concerned about are, we've indicated that they are very intimidating. They have this intimidating quality to them. And whether it's teens in high school or college students or those of us in the workplace, we all hear these voices and are surrounded by these statements of principle that are very intimidating. The reason they're intimidating is because they're presented very eloquently. They're presented by someone who has a great deal of training in their field. They're presented by someone who has a lot of degrees or a lot of years of expertise or a lot of background of study. And so these things are stated by very intelligent people. And the thing to realize is that the intelligence, their unbelievers don't have a corner on intelligence. There are many intelligent believers who don't agree with these unbelievers. It's just that these unbelievers are very self-confident. They're preaching and presenting. They're preaching.
They are.
And they're presenting these views of the world, these ways to live, these things that will guide your decisions. And they sound very forceful, and they can't imagine that someone else would interpret the evidence or would analyze a situation and come to any different conclusion. But they don't have, there are very smart people who are believers who look differently at the same situation. It has nothing to do with the level of knowledge or the level of study. That's not the way that we will decide who we're going to listen to. So it's very helpful to see that the way we can identify these things is this method of knowing whether they exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. I'm thinking of the time when David came to the battlefield where Goliath was defying the armies of God.
Yeah.
Morning and evening, he came out and he said, "Give me a man so we may fight together." And the entire Israelite army was shaking in their tents. Nobody was willing, including Saul, to go and fight. David assessed the situation differently. He had a sensitive conscience because when he heard the challenge of Goliath, what he said was, who is going to take on this person? What did he say? He didn't say, who's defying the armies. He said, who's defying the armies of the living God? So his conscience was sensitized, was sensitive to what kind of defiance, what kind of battle it really was. He said to Goliath, the battle is the Lord's. Or maybe he said that to Saul. Either way, he said it. And he knew that the battle was the Lord's. He knew that this enemy was destined to fall because he was defying God himself, defying the living God. And so we don't look at these strongholds and say, wow, that's very intimidating. Maybe that's an alternate view of things that I should consider. No, instead we say, that is someone defying the truth of the knowledge of God. And the simplest ones of us can understand at least the fact that it's defying the knowledge of God. In 1 John, the little children, which means, in that sometimes little children is all of us, but the part of 1 John where little children means new believers, young believers, it says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know the truth. You know all things. The King James says unction. It means an anointing. You have the Holy Spirit. Every one of us has the Holy Spirit to know if it sits right or not, if it's true or not. We may not know how to refute it. We may not know why exactly it's true or false, but we can count on the Spirit of God to expose what is one of these reasonings, what one of these false reasonings is, to expose, the other word is these high things. They're intimidating, but don't let the level of experience, the amount of self-confidence of this false speaker drive away the idea that this one is coming down. This one is coming down, and maybe God will use me to refute that among my colleagues and contacts and friends.
Steve, I wonder if connected with that, in Colossians 1, as one of the tests for us, as you say, all of us may not be able to refute these intellectual people, but one of these tests is, it says in all things, in verse 18 of Colossians 1, in all things he might have the preeminence. This is what God has done. So in accord with the knowledge of God, God has one man he's exalted, only one. In all things he has the preeminence. So if whatever they're teaching, if the Lord Jesus doesn't have the preeminence, if other men have been put into the preeminent place, we know it's wrong. We know it's error. And so it's very dangerous, because this is what happens. They exalt either philosophers, they exalt men of political powers, and they exalt to some high degree, and they leave the Lord Jesus completely out of their thoughts.
Go ahead, finish.
No, I was just going to say, we need to have ways to test what's being said. Go ahead, Dave.
But I'm just wondering if it is our responsibility, though, to go and attempt to refute them. I think we can make clear statements of Scripture. Because I'm thinking of what Paul gives Timothy when he says, foolish and senseless questions avoid, knowing that they beget contentions. The philosophers have a knowledge of their own. As you said, Steve, they can articulate it well. They can set things out. They can turn you upside down and inside out. But should I fear them? All I need to do is present the Word of God. I don't have to come with any strong information that's superseding theirs. I'm simply to set out the Word of God. And if in truth and in fact they are prepared to contend with me, then it says, foolish and senseless questions avoid, because they only lead to a contentious spirit.